kind of weird.
Well, I hooked it all up to make sure it was all working, and then I turned it back on, and it said that I had to update it all of a sudden. And I was like, oh, okay. And then I tried to update it, and it wouldn't update. And then it just reopened, so I don't know.
Dance, monkey, dance.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Dance Monkey Dance. I'm Chris.
I'm John.
How you doing, John?
I'm doing just great. How are you?
I'm just dandy. It's cold again here.
It's warm here.
So it went from 80 yesterday to 55 today. And then the next couple of days will be in the 50s, and then we're back into the 80s, and then it's supposed to get cold again. I live in the South for warm weather. I don't know. Everything's just saying get the fuck out.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Everyone, only problem is most of the blue states are cold.
Yeah, I know. That's part of the problem. And like, you know, California, there's nice parts of that, but it's so fucking expensive to live there.
Right.
Why? Like, I don't know. If I could find a job like I have now where I didn't have to, like, commute or, like, go out of the house, snow might not be that bad. Because, like, you see the storms coming.
Right.
You could stock up, hunker down, and then, you know, when it passes, you can come outside again. But, oh well. So did you see the weird update on the Gene Hackman story?
I did.
So
that's really?
So for anybody who hasn't seen it, apparently Gene Hackman's wife died a week before he did of hantavirus, which if you don't know what hantavirus is, it is, it's a orthohantavirus is the actual technical name for it. But it's passed by exposure to rats and mice through their urine, droppings, and saliva.
Mm-hmm.
And so she died of that a week before he did.
Right.
Well, he didn't die of that. So she drops dead on the floor in the bathroom, apparently. And it turns out that Gene Hackman had Alzheimer's disease.
Right.
And I guess didn't know what was going on or didn't realize that she was dead. And then I'm assuming he just didn't eat for a certain amount of time. Because Alzheimer's patients will forget to do things like eat and swallow and breathe and stuff like that. And I guess he was on his way out for whatever. And in the mudroom and fell over and died. Like, totally bizarre.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so weird.
Yeah.
So weird.
I mean, I wonder where she got the hantavirus from. I mean, I guess maybe if there was rats or mice in their house. And, you know, older people aren't very observant, and she came into contact with something that they had peed or pooped on. They lived in a, like, big wooded area, so I'm not surprised that there were mice around.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, nobody knew that he had Alzheimer's. they'd kept that to themselves, just like everything else, which is fine.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, I have to imagine that if you're a caretaker for somebody with Alzheimer's, you have things in place in case you become incapacitated or you can't take care of them.
Right.
You know, not necessarily put them in a home, but like a 95-year-old man with Alzheimer's must be a bitch to take care of. And I just can't imagine like not having a nurse that at least would stop by like a couple of times a week to make sure that he's okay.
Right.
You know, just to make sure that like everybody's fine. But it was like 11 days.
Right.
Like, that's so weird. So apparently, according to this article, symptoms for hantavirus can take up to 2 months to show up after contact with an infected rodent. It often starts with fatigue, fever, and muscle aches and can develop into coughing and shortness of breath within a few days. So, wow.
And they had no kids, apparently.
Not together, but I think Hackman had kids from a previous marriage.
Hmm.
I mean, I could have sworn I had read something that he had kids. Yeah, he's got 1, 2, 3 kids.
Where the hell are they?
I don't know. I mean, his ex-wife, Faye Maltese, died in 2017, so I don't know whether they were just, maybe they're estranged from their father. I don't know.
Mm.
I mean, I'm not the closest with my dad, but I still check in on him every week, like once a week.
Right.
Just to make sure that like he's okay. And my sisters are constantly in contact with him, so... You know, maybe with the Alzheimer's, maybe the kids just couldn't bear to see their father like that. You know, if he doesn't remember them.
Right.
You know?
Well, yeah, that too.
So, yeah, I mean, there's probably all kinds of circumstances around that. And they probably feel terrible that they didn't check in on him.
Right.
But I don't know. Anyway, I thought that was weird. It's a very weird update. That was not the way that I thought that that was going to go.
Hmm. There don't seem to be any articles where his kids have, like, spoken out or expressed grief or...
Huh. Okay.
That's really, really odd.
Unless somebody reached out to them and they said that they wanted, you know, to grieve in private or whatever.
Right.
I mean, and who knows what kind of father he was, to be totally honest. You know, if he wasn't a great dad, and, you know... There are kids that choose other people over their family if, like, they didn't have a good relationship with their parents, so. Who knows?
So there's an article on HelloMagazine.com.
Yeah.
It's titled Inside Gene Hackman's Tough, in quotation marks, Relationship with Three Children.
Okay.
And I guess his youngest daughter, Leslie, had said he'd been in good health during their last visit together.
Okay.
She said he was in very good physical condition. He liked to do Pilates and yoga. But it doesn't really say anything about what was so rough about it, other than growing up as the child of a, you know, a movie star.
Yeah, somebody who was constantly, like, not there.
Right.
Yeah.
Hmm. Very sad.
Yep.
Very sad.
So what did you watch this week?
So I watched the most recent episode of Severance.
Yeah.
Wasn't one I really liked. I mean, the one before was so good.
Yeah, I think whatever's going to happen in the final couple of episodes is going to hinge on I forget her character name, Patricia Arquette's character coming back.
Miss Coble?
Yeah, Miss Coble. Coming back into the fray, because it was revealed that she was the original designer of the Severance chip.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, the credit for it was given to somebody else. So I guess she's going to come in and make waves about it. And that could lead to, along with Mark's, resurgence, or whatever they call that, where like he can remember what's going on with his any
right.
stuff.
Yeah.
You know, maybe that will fuel the coming season and lead us to a cliffhanger that, you know, really like throws us off guard or something. But it was, I think it was one of the shorter episodes. I think it was only like 35 minutes.
Yeah.
So there wasn't a lot of fat to it, but none of the main characters that we've been following was in it for the most part. You hear Adam Scott's voice at the very end, but, you know, other than that. But I mean, it moved the story along, so
it did.
I'm okay with it.
It did. It just felt that it, I mean, it didn't feel like filler. It just felt like, okay, now you need to know all this information to get to the next episode.
Yeah.
But, and again, another actress that I had to look up on IMDb because I did not recognize her at all. Jane Alexander played her mother.
Was that her mother? So I'm confused about,
well, not, she kind of became Harmony's like caregiver when her real mother died.
Okay.
But then I guess Harmony always blamed her for her mother's death.
Okay. Because when she shows up, when Coble shows up, at the house, the dude that's with her is like, yeah, tell her to drop dead or whatever he says.
Right.
So he doesn't like her either. But then she's like, I need the key to mother's room. And I'm like, wait, who's this woman then? And they never really go into the relationship other than Coble was raised in pretty much a cult. The cult
right.
of the Lumen family or whatever.
Right.
So I'm not sure whether or not that means that, like, you know, the village with many mothers, where it's not just the woman that gave birth to you, but other women. Mm. I didn't know if this was like, her mom and this woman were together, like if they were like wives together, spouses, like, I don't know. There's just this veil of mystery about this woman that they never even like hinted at.
Right.
the only thing that, that they kept saying is that, you know, the mother had died. And I didn't understand, like, where Harmony goes into the bedroom and hooks up the breathing thing to the machine.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, how long has that been sitting there? Like, what are the odds that, like, that does what she wants it to do? But I don't know. It was a very pretty episode, though.
It was.
It was filmed mostly in Newfoundland and Canada.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, two episodes left for the season.
Right.
Hopefully it's not 3 years between this season and next season.
Have they said they've renewed for a third season?
I'm pretty sure they have. Yeah, this is actually the lowest rated episode this season, at least, and probably of the show. So, yeah.
Interesting. Well, we got, what, two episodes?
Yep. Let's
see what happens. So did you watch the first two episodes of Daredevil?
I did.
Wow.
I mean, when they talked about the fact that they were delaying the show because they wanted to retool it,
mm-hmm.
I didn't have high hopes because that's usually not a good sign.
Right.
But if the first two episodes are any indication of what we're going to get for the rest of the season and season two, which is now filming, I am totally psyched for it. It's
right.
It's such a good show that not only picks up where the Netflix show left off, but feels more Marvel now. I mean, before it felt kind of like its own universe, and this feels more in tune with like the rest of the MCU.
Mm-hmm.
And it's nice because Daredevil definitely belongs within the main universe.
Right.
I feel kind of bad for Foggy's actor.
Oh my God. He didn't even make it through the first episode.
Nope. Not even the first 10 minutes. It was, hey, Foggy. Bye, Foggy. And I was like, wow. Okay. Was not expecting that.
Yeah.
They did a really good job at setting up the universe for like anybody who didn't see it, like see the previous version of this show.
Right.
'Cause my kid was able to follow it the entire way. And like, she'd be like, who's that? And I'd be like, oh, well that's Karen. Karen used to be their like secretary, but then she was a partner, but they move past Karen and Foggy really quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of throw him into a new thing where like all you have to really know is Kingpin, and they do enough in the first two episodes to kind of show you who he is and why people should be scared of him.
Right.
And other than that, like they're just going to march forward, and at some point the Punisher is going to show up, and
mm-hmm.
you know, I feel like while the first episode where where Matt throws Bullseye off of the top of the building,
right,
was violent, I think it's going to get even more violent, which is fine. I mean, that's what Daredevil should be. That's what the Punisher right. should be.
Right.
And I guess they've announced that Punisher's getting his own like limited series.
Okay.
And John Bernthal said, yeah, this is not Punisher light. Like, expect even more violence than what was in the Netflix show.
Right.
And that was super violent. So it's nice to see Disney taking a chance.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. They've set so many interesting things in action.
Yeah.
You know, the whole, you know, lunch meeting with Fisk and, you know, Fisk telling him that he had nothing to do with Froggy's death. And I don't know. It's kind of like two old adversaries meeting again, and we're going to see where this goes.
Yeah, and my kid was asking me where this fits in the timeline with Daredevil having shown up in She-Hulk.
Right.
And I think that She-Hulk happens before Foggy's death.
Okay.
Because he seems, Matt almost seems happy in She-Hulk.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the fallout from Foggy's death is probably like, obviously it pushed Karen away, and you know, there's his life is completely different now, and it doesn't seem like he's really had any friends up until this point where he meets his new love interest, I guess.
Right.
So I feel like all of that stuff happened before this, and along with like the Echo stuff, like all of that happens before this, and you get to a point where, you know, Matt and Karen and Foggy are in a position where they're all kind of happy, and you know, they just think it's like a normal night, and then Foggy gets taken out.
Right.
So, yeah. I mean, Deborah Ann Woll is listed on IMDb for 16 episodes. So I guess she's going to come back into the fold at some point.
Okay.
But, you know, they're setting up the stuff with, like, the cops with the Punisher logos tattooed on them.
Mm-hmm.
And what does that mean? And, like, how are they going to fold him into it? I will say the one sticking point that I have with this version of the show, which I had with the old version of the show, there was literally a shot of New York from across the river, and there was no Avengers Tower in the skyline.
Okay.
Which should be there. So I don't know. That's just one of those things that it's, if this is the MCU, then it should be there.
So speculation is that it takes place in 2026, 2027.
Okay.
So after Echo, She-Hulk, No Way Home.
Okay.
I wonder if he's going to have like a trophy room with all of his old costumes in it.
There's a picture of like a room where he's got multiple helmets.
Yeah.
In the different colors. So.
Interesting.
I would think so.
It takes place 5 years after the Netflix series.
Okay.
So almost present day.
Yeah. But yeah, I like it a lot. I'm super jazzed for the rest of the season. And then we go right into Andor, so.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be good.
We've got how many episodes of this?
First season is standby. There are 9.
Okay.
And then they're saying there's 8 for season 2. So, yeah. What else did you watch this week? Anything?
I've got 20 minutes left in the new Captain America.
Okay.
And still no Red Hulk.
Yeah. You got about another 10 minutes before he shows up.
Great. Yeah. I mean, so far it's not bad.
I mean, it's an interesting film from the standpoint where if you compare it with arguably one of the best Marvel films, Winter Soldier,
right?
There's beat for beat almost throughout the film where they were almost using that as a blueprint. Like everything from like in Winter Soldier, the first part is him on the boat. That climaxes with a fight with like the main bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
And in this new Captain America, it's now in the jungle and he's got to take out a bunch of guys and it ends with him with a fight with the main bad guy.
Right.
Like, so you can do that throughout the entire movie almost. And it feels... It's weird because a lot of it feels like it's almost like a direct sequel to the first Hulk film.
Which first Hulk film? The Edward Norton the or Edward the Mark Norton Ruffalo?
One. The Edward Norton one.
Okay.
Saw
that one.
Yeah. And why they didn't just make a Hulk film and had to make a Captain America, I'm not really sure.
Right.
I mean, it is a little hard to watch Harrison Ford like try to still be an action person.
Yeah.
Like, I feel they kind of need to just tell him. I know he's all gung-ho about continuing to work, but I don't know.
Well, and how old is he now?
Oh, Jesus.
He's in his 80s, isn't he?
He was born in 1942. I'm not good at math.
82?
Yeah, something like that.
I don't understand these young women and old men.
You mean like Calicity Flockhart?
Yeah.
I mean, he wasn't that old when they started. When they got married, though. He just aged. I mean, how old is she now?
She's 59. So is that 23 years older than her?
Yeah.
Hey, whatever. As long as they're happy.
I guess.
They don't seem to be crazy.
I mean, as long as like she wasn't 17... And he was dating her, you know.
Right.
The age gap is whatever if you're an adult. But, I mean, there was a 30-year age gap with Gene Hackman and his wife, so. You know. Yeah, he'll be 83 this year.
God bless.
And he's been in every major franchise that he was in his, like, 40s.
Mm-hmm.
And he's still filming, like, the 1923 show and Shrinking and all that stuff, so.
Right. Well, good for him.
Yeah.
You know?
Have we talked since the Oscars came out?
No, because it was last Sunday. We talked before the show.
Okay. What'd you think?
I I didn't watch it. I watched a few clips of it on YouTube.
Yeah.
It wasn't a very interesting award show.
What,
I guess.
What'd you think of Conan as the host?
He was all right. He was Conan.
Yeah, definitely.
He was Conan, you know. But it's like if they were going to do bits like, you know, the nominees for costume design being introduced by stars of the or actors from those films.
Yeah.
And then Bowen Yang from Wicked comes out in his Wicked costume. It's like, you couldn't have thrown a song in there or something.
And it ran long anyway. They didn't even do the live performances and it still ran long.
Right. Well, and there's that incredibly long opening musical number. It's like, okay, and all of these songs are slow.
Yeah.
Are you trying to put us to sleep? But yeah, I mean, I've really had no interest in it this year.
Yeah, it's a... It's, amazing how, like, you can just kind of fall away from stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if you don't have any interest or you haven't seen any of the films or anything. Because when I was like, you know, in my 30s, it was like a not missed thing.
Right.
Even though I didn't see any of the films, you know, you were just kind of, oh, who's going to get it this year? And now I'm just like, yeah, whatever. Okay, cool.
Yeah, it's, yeah. I mean, I miss the days when RoboCop had to come rescue Pee-wee Herman and all that stupid shit.
Yeah.
But it just wasn't entertaining. I mean, it's just, you had movies that were musicals that were nominated, and there wasn't really any acknowledgement of that.
Yeah.
Well, I guess we're getting to that age where it's not for us.
No, and I don't think any of these things are for us anymore.
No.
And I feel like my kid knows way more. Well, obviously she knows way more of the current, you know, the current crop of musical artists, and she knows all these songs. But like, there's a weird thing with her generation where they also are kind of stuck on the 80s stuff.
Yeah.
Because she knows all the 80s music, too, without ever being prompted by me. So, I don't know what's going on with her generation.
Mm.
But yeah.
I mean, I can't say that any of the winners were, I mean, I don't want to say undeserved, but it's like there are no stars. It's a bunch of newcomers.
But Adrian Brody gave the longest speech in Oscar history.
Who cares?
Yeah, and it. I did you watch his speech?
No.
He starts going into about how tough of a job it is, and I'm like, just say thank you. Don't try to make yourself bigger than you are. The guy that's digging ditches who goes to the movies as an escape probably has a harder job than you. Like, I hate that fucking, oh, we're breathing rarefied air bullshit. It's like, okay, whatever, man. You won an Oscar and then you didn't do anything for a long time. You starred in a movie about the Predators. And now you've done a thing, which from what I understand is not a great movie.
Right.
But you know, because Hollywood gives these awards, he's going to get recognized for it.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. I don't know.
I don't know either.
So I finished that show Paradise.
Yeah.
I kind of dug it. I know. Yeah. I know you didn't really like the first episode, but yeah, I thought the story was really well done. I thought,
okay,
you know, being they were able to, even though the president dies in the first episode, spoiler, he's involved with the rest of the show in flashbacks, so
okay,
they fill in like what has happened, and how they got to that point and how it all kind of fits with the mystery of who killed him. So I thought it was really great. Like,
okay,
for stuff that I watch, and I know a lot of people don't like the show, a lot of people like whatever, but I don't know. I felt like in the range of things that are out to watch, like it's definitely kind of worth your time if you're looking for something. And Sterling K. Brown is a phenomenal actor.
Hmm.
So, you know.
Well, I'll give it a second chance.
If you run out of stuff, you know. Might be worth it.
Right. Well, I mean, there's lots of new stuff coming up, so. We've got Last of Us coming back. Mickey 17 looks interesting.
Yeah, it's made by the same guy who did what was the one with the Snowpiercer?
Mm-hmm.
The movie with Chris Evans. And he always has a fantastic eye and like interesting cinematography and stuff. And yeah, it looks like a wild story about, like, I don't know if he's a clone or what the deal is with him, but like there's multiple versions of him who keep dying, and like,
right,
you know, Robert Pattinson is a very interesting actor who's done a lot of diverse things, so I can see him kind of bringing a cool aesthetic to this.
Mm-hmm.
I've also started to watch the third season of Reacher on Prime.
Oh, okay.
I really like the way that Alan Richardson plays Reacher. It's way different from the Tom Cruise version of it.
Okay.
And more than it's more accurate to the books, I guess. But he's really good in it. I'm only a couple episodes in, but it starts out in a way where you're like, you're led to believe that something's happening that's not, and I don't know. It's just, it's another show that's well done by Amazon, because they seem to really put a lot of money into their shows.
Hmm.
The second season was okay. Like, the first season was really good. The second season was okay, and this seems to be really good again.
Are you going to watch The Electric State?
I would like to. I have seen all kinds of shit about, like, oh, it's just more Netflix drivel.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't put a whole lot of stock in reviews these days.
Okay.
Simply because they're more out for clickbait than they are for, like, actual substance of whether or not something's good or not. And there are shows that are, and movies that are put on Netflix that I have seen panned that I really like. You know, a lot of reviewers have a hard time, like, turning off their brain and just enjoying something.
Yeah.
And I think that hurts a lot. Like, not everything has to be heady. Not everything has to be explained for the audience. Like, some of it can just be fun. Some of it can just be mindless. And I really like the Russo brothers. I think a lot of the stuff that they've done has been really good.
Mm-hmm.
I like Millie Bobby Brown. I'm not a huge fan of Chris Pratt, but, you know, what are you going to do? So I kind of want to see it on the face value of, like, you know, giving it a fair shake. But also, if it's shit, I probably won't finish it.
Right.
So, I don't know. Are you going to watch it?
Well, yeah, because friends of mine worked on it.
Oh, well, there you go.
So.
Well, everybody watch it so we can support John's friends.
That's right.
Be happy for your friends. Support them.
Yeah.
I mean, this supposedly is, like, the most expensive film ever made.
Ever?
I think that it's over $300,000. I mean, and if you look at the cast, Chris Pratt, Millie Bobby Brown, Woody Harrelson, Ke-Huy Quan. Let's see, do I recognize anybody else?
Danny DeVito,
Alan Tudyk, Stanley Tucci. Giancarlo Esposito, Jason Alexander, Coleman Domingo, Anthony Mackie. Like, it's got an amazing cast. Hank Azaria.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, hopefully it's better. I mean, it also has the voice of Rob Gronkowski, though. I don't know if that's stunt casting or what.
Well, you know, now that he's got that career doing commercials with for insurance, is that what it is?
I think so.
Yeah.
I mean, it's only it only has a Metascore of 30. But I mean, the Metascore stuff is all over the place. I mean, the Hollywood Reporter says the actors are all game for anything, but this is a thankless work in which the mix of live action and animatronics has no magic. The same goes for the talented voice cast, which also includes Colman Domingo and Hank Azaria. But then you have like The Telegraph, where it's like, what fun it is to watch a film this expensive and not able to quite work out where it's going, or even if it might just stay put for a bit and soak up the disgustingly poetic death of the American century vibe. So like, they're all over the place. So I would assume that like it's probably a middle of the road film.
Yeah,
which is fine, and it might be a good popcorn film.
It might. I mean, it's kind of an interesting concept. You know, that there's a robot uprising of all these product mascots.
Yeah.
Like Mr. Peanut.
So its reported budget was $320 million.
Peanuts.
Sure. I mean, so the movie is in the hands of two guys that made several billion dollars for Marvel.
Right.
You know, of course, anybody, including Netflix, is going to be like, yeah, we'll give you whatever you want. You know, and it's also one of those things of like, Netflix is not concerned with box office. So
true.
What do they care? It's content that's going to live on their platform for forever.
Right.
So, you know, I don't think anybody sets out to make a bad film. You know, it's probably all good intention.
Right.
I mean, they put Chris Pratt in it, so, you know, whatever.
Speaking of Chris Pratt.
Yeah.
Are you going to buy his new app?
No, what's his app?
It's called Halo. And it's a Catholic prayer app.
Oh, my God.
It's him, and it's Mark Wahlberg, and the guy who played Jesus in The Chosen.
Oh, I saw a, I guess it was an ad with Mark Wahlberg, where he was like, hey, can I get 5 minutes of your time? Will you come pray with me? And I immediately turned it off. I was like, well, fuck that. I was like, why am I getting these? But now it kind of makes sense. Okay.
But they're doing the Lent Pray 40 challenge right now. You can get the Lent Pray list.
Oh, God. Okay.
It's a mix of instrumental and lyrical music centered on the themes of Jesus' death. And then you can get sleep Bible stories. You can fall asleep in God's peace.
Oh, okay.
And then on top of that, you can transform your life with 10,000 plus sessions of guided prayer.
Oh boy.
I mean, it says that it's Catholic,
yeah,
but it seems very evangelical.
Yeah. So E! News has an article that says Chris Pratt says he made a deal with God to save his son.
Yes, that's the story.
In 2012, his then wife Anna Faris gave birth to Jack 7 weeks premature, weighing only 3 pounds and 10 ounces, and was treated at a neonatal intensive care unit for a month before the parents could bring him home. So wouldn't you thank the doctors?
Well, you would think so. Oh, and here's a bonus. One of the prayer guides is Jim Caviezel.
Oh, that. So Pratt's a Republican, right? He's got to be.
Oh, yeah.
Good God.
Well, and Pratt made that comment about how he thanked God for giving him a whole son because the other one was damaged.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that's a very Christian attitude. All right.
I mean, he also belonged to a church that was anti-LGBTQ.
Right.
And then was like, oh, no, no, they're not. And it's like, they have it on their website, dude.
Right.
Why can't actors just keep to themselves?
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand. Yeah, Jim Caviezel played Jesus and then got struck by lightning multiple times. What does that tell you?
Right.
I don't know. I don't understand anymore.
That's the whole thing. You're not supposed to.
I guess.
It's all subterfuge. We're all being gaslit.
Yeah, I mean, well, you know, we used to work with somebody who thought the dinosaurs were placed in the ground by Satan, so, you know, what are you going to do?
They're there to test our faith.
Oh, I saw a wacky Instagram post by a quote-unquote doctor who talked about how the fires that are going around in America right now are to cover mass killings.
Ooh.
And there are only 600,000 people on the face of the earth that are alive. And I was like, dude, you're fucking kooky. Like, you're worse than the fucking flat earth people. I don't understand how people like believe in this stuff. I don't get the Q stuff. I don't get any of that.
No?
No. Nope. It's very weird.
Are you interested in the new Harry Potter series?
I am. I saw that they have cast a black man as Snape, which has brought the fandom into an uproar.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't care who plays who, because any white dude that gets cast as Snape is only going to be doing an Alan Rickman impersonation.
Right.
So the fact that they had the kind of wherewithal to be like, well, let's bring in somebody that's going to bring something absolutely new to this role, I'm fine with that. You know, was it the cursed child on Broadway that made Hermione a black woman?
Yep.
Yeah. So like, it's not new. It's not. Hey,
it's an actor playing a part.
Let's gender bend Snape into a woman and Lily and Snape have a lesbian relationship. That would really kill fucking J.K. Rowling. I got to imagine that she doesn't really have much say in this TV show, to where, like, you know, I've heard all that stuff with, like, when Universal put in the theme park stuff where she was directly responsible for the look and the feel of, like, what was in the restaurants,
right,
and, you know, all that shit. With this stuff, I can't imagine where she's making these decisions. I mean, I want to say she was the one that was like, yeah, only British actors can be in the movies. And like, John Lithgow is going to be Dumbledore. So,
I mean, that's one reason for me to watch it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Although it is very bizarre that it's still going to feature Harry, Ron, and Hermione. It's like, didn't those stories end?
Well, they're retelling the books, aren't they?
Yeah, I just don't... I mean, why?
To get in all the shit that the movies cut out? I mean,
yeah, I guess.
I mean, do you feel like your life is missing something because Hermione didn't head up Spew and, you know, like...
to free the house...
The house elves making all the food at Hogwarts? Like,
right.
We're going to see that. Did you miss Peeves in the movies? Like... You know, this is all the shit that they're going to try to bring into it.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting.
I mean, my kid and I were watching the first Harry Potter film the other day, and I just started ripping it apart from, like, plot hole things.
Yeah.
And, like the fact that there's a scene early in the movie where they're trying to deliver letters to Harry and the Dursleys keep taking them from him. And there's a scene where hundreds of letters spew out from the fireplace.
The fireplace. Mm-hmm.
And Harry, who is supposedly the best seeker of his generation, can't catch one. And to the point where he's got one stuck on the side of his head and he's still like reaching for them. And I'm like, okay, like somebody, there should have been somebody on the set being like, does this make sense? And like, I'm fine with them retelling the stories, but I think it would be better if all of these things took place after the stories that we know, like just call it Hogwarts.
Sure.
And it's the new class.
And do what the game did.
Yeah.
Where it takes you to all these different, you know, wizard schools and...
Yeah. Like, how cool would it be to have an anthology series based in the Harry Potter universe?
Right.
Where, you know, with the technology today, they could do every other episode is in a different, you know, magical school. And you get to see the other ones.
Mm-hmm.
You know, instead of rehashing all of it. And then, like, you'd have a chance to bring in Daniel Radcliffe as Harry Potter.
Sure.
You know, and tie it to the other stuff. I don't know. They just want to sell more merchandise.
That's kind of what it feels like.
Did you see the video of Rupert Grint at the gas station?
Pumping gas?
Yeah.
Yes.
And he holds it up and he's like, expensive petroleum.
Petroleum expensive. Or
is that what he says? Something like that.
Yeah.
Just, oh my God. Like, I'm so glad that he has a sense of humor and that he's just not like miserable at the fact that like people like still think of him as Ron.
Right.
Oh, yeah, good times. Oh, man. You got anything else for this week?
Yeah, no.
Okay. All right, well, if you want to get in touch with us, you can send us an email at info@dancemonkeypodcast.com. You can follow us on Facebook and YouTube and let us know you're listening. So until next week, this is Chris.
This is John.
Have a good week.
You're a wizard, Harry.